So unfortunately, I need to announce this morning that we have an unruly member in our church. They came to church on Easter Sunday. There's a picture there. It's one of these people. And they went home and they complained to their spouse about Pastor Richard's haircut. And then during the week, they said some nasty things about their neighbors. And then they watched football. And they said some quite offensive words about a missed penalty. They're quite out of control and they need to be exposed. And so we're wondering to ourselves, who is this unruly member? This unruly member is our tongues. And so we're looking at James's strong words about the tongue this morning. I'm going to start with an activity for our younger people. Well, for all of us, I have some sweet and some sour. Actually, maybe Ethan, you wanna manage these for me. It makes it easier. So I tried to think of a few sweet words and a few sour words, and we have to guess whether these are sweet or sour words. So, you are really an embarrassment to me. Sweet or sour? Sour. Okay, I heard. Let's give Alicia one. A sour. What about this one? You are a unique individual.
Sweet.
Sweet. It could be. You are completely stupid.
At least they can achieve something that's completely stupid.
That's sour. You are utterly hopeless. That is sour. Richard gets a sour patch, yes. Oh, wow, you are so kind. Sweet, who hasn't said anything yet? Claire, I heard it from Claire. This is one that you might get at school. You are really smelly. Oh, sour from Benjamin. Oh, you're so lovely. That's a lovely looking sweet there. That is sweet. Richard's got a collection for this week. What about you are completely worthless? That's very sour, yeah. Oh. Come on, somebody, you must want a sweet. Well, perhaps we'll give it to this young, if no one wants it, it's not plain, we'll give it to this young man. What's your name, young man?
His name is Eric.
Eric, okay. If no one claims it, they go to Eric this morning. Eric, you brought your bag, you're taking a bag, you'll be taking a lot home today. This is one that we sometimes say to our kids. You are so clumsy.
Sour.
That is pretty sour, yeah.
Oh, you're so clumsy.
What about... Oh, you are so helpful. Thank you for coming next Saturday. You're so helpful. That's sweet. That could be a bit manipulated there, but... What about you're really fat? That's sour. Actually, talking about that, it is a true story. Caleb, when he was a little boy, we had two youth leaders, and they were married, and they were very large. And Caleb was a tiny boy in our car, and he said to them, are you brother and sister? And they said, no, why do you ask that? They said, because you're both so fat. I have to say they left the church. It's one way to get rid of your youth leaders. You are so ugly. Sour, that's sour. What about you are... this? Let's, Ethan, I know you want to take some home, but... what about... what about you're wonderful? Sweet, that's good. You're special. You're an idiot. Sour. Or you're a loser. Sour. So words, it's amazing that they can really bless or they can really curse. So I actually have here, I did not know, but you can use AI to make your own word search. So if anyone would like a word search, because we don't have a lot of children this morning, if you're... Eric would like a word search. It's actually more challenging, but there's a word search if you want to search for good and sweet words and sour words. So don't be shy. This is more for the kids. This is something, or for all of us. It's called fit. Before you speak, think. Think, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? So this is different words. The word search. We won't do this together, but it actually ended up more challenging than I thought. So... so James is actually a message for everyone. None of us are spared. He talks about, He talks about we who teach will be judged more strictly. So it's a message for the leadership. It's a message for me. He says we all stumble in many ways. And so all is everyone. He goes on to say anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. So basically, faultless words are the ultimate mark of perfection. So if we feel like we're perfect, then we basically have faultless speech. And I like this from Edgar Lee Masters. I believe he was a poet and a writer in the US. He says, the tongue may be an unruly member, but silence poisons the soul. And so it's a little bit tricky. As Brits, we're very good at keeping our lips closed, but we sort of let it boil inside and we become passive aggressive. And so there's a sort of challenge for us. And this is something interesting. I have colored pencils and I sort of go through my Bible. And in 2018, I was just interested because there was a lot of actually lying and stuff that went on in a conflict that I was involved in. And I went through the Bible, and any time it talks about the sins of the tongue or lying, I just colored it in blue. And I ended up discovering that there's a lot about our tongues in the Bible. In fact, it might be the ultimate sin in the Bible. You know, for my mum it was smoking, but for the Bible, what we say might be the ultimate sin because our words are so powerful. They can bless or they can curse. And so James goes on to say that words are powerful. Words are powerful. Words, he says, are like a bridle in a horse's mouth. It's a tiny little thing, but we can steer a big horse. He talks about a rudder on a ship. He says the rudder is small, but it can steer a great ship. It can steer these big ships, these tiny rudders can steer these big ships out of the Straits of Hormuz. He says it's like a little tiny spark, but it can set a forest on fire. And I was with Linus Morris, that's Phil, remember a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Phil spoke, it's his father-in-law. He had a house in the Pacific Palisades and it was completely burnt. The only thing that was left was his filing cabinet when he went back. That was the only thing, his filing cabinet. And he was quite funny. He said, you know, God was doing a practice run on his house for the end of the world. But it's just a reminder that our tongues are very powerful. And as we say things, we can set a forest on fire. And it's been interesting. So I don't know whether you have any pensions, but I watch my pensions. Trump says, you know, good news, pensions go up. He says, you know, we're going to bomb Iran, pensions go down. I mean, the whole world is affected by a few little words that are said. But just to think about how powerful our words really, and this is how powerful words are. It says that God spoke the universe into existence. So we live in a ginormous, ginormous universe. It's so big we can't understand it. God spoke it into an existence. That's how powerful words are. When it came to the Tower of Babel, it says God confused our languages, and so he was able to scatter people across the face of the earth. And so language was used to confuse us. Jesus is God, the Word. Jesus is the Word. That's how powerful it is. The gospel is a message of good news. It's a message of good news. And then Paul goes on to say to the Romans, the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to those who believe. And so the gospel news is powerful. Proverbs says the tongue has the power of life and death. Just think about it in our own life. I can say something positive and I can bless somebody for the rest of their life. Maybe we've had that experience where a teacher has said to us, I can really see this in you. When I was a student, one of the professors said to me, I had to do a presentation. He said, you're really good at that. I can see you have a gift in public speaking. I didn't think I had a gift, but it set me on a course to eventually become a minister. But you can also say things to people, you know, perhaps we say to our kids, you're absolutely useless or whatever. Sorry, Ethan. And we set them on a course for the rest of their life, feeling damaged and hopeless. And my mum, she was born a girl, and my grandmother wanted a boy. And she said to my mum, I'm disappointed that you were not a boy. And my mum grew up feeling she was unworthy. And my mum compensated for that by trying to become, you know, as capable as a man, which was great. You know, my mum fixed the electrics at home and she did the car. That was all good. People loved my mum. But in another way, she often put my dad down and she put others down because she wanted to feel good. And that was a small statement by my grandmother. I wished that you were a boy, not a girl. So the tongues are very powerful. Thirdly, and I mean, this is not a difficult passage. James basically says, you need help. He says, people have tamed all kinds of animals. You know, we see these on TV. People have this, tame this and tame that. But he says very strongly, no human being can tame the tongue. And those words are meant to make us think, whoa, no human being can tame the tongue. Whoops, how on earth am I possibly able to tame my tongue? Who can help me? Perhaps later, thinking about it, we need to say, well, I need God's help taming my own tongue. As James goes on, he tries to say to us, it's not really about controlling your tongue. It's about a heart problem. And so James says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. What he's trying to say is, it's not about controlling this, it's about what's in your heart. And James is very consistent with the words of Jesus, because this is what Jesus says. He says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks, Jesus says, what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And so James is trying to say, well, actually, at the end of the day, our problem is not can I control my tongue? Because no man can do it. He's saying, what is in your heart? And so lastly, I think, James doesn't specifically say this, but as we look at the rest of Scripture, we need Jesus and his grace. We need Jesus and his grace, and Jesus as an example in our hearts. Remember in Isaiah, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And Peter, picking up on this theme, talking about the death of Jesus, and Jesus being an example to follow, says, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he was insulted, he made no threats. And so what Peter is saying is, Jesus is our perfect example of the only man ever to have walked this earth who could control their tongue. Completely and utterly stressed by the cross, you know, in the lowest point, insulted beyond all measure, and he held his tongue. Jesus is the only one who can control the tongue. And so we need Jesus' help to control our tongues. We need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. But we also need Jesus' grace to fill our hearts. And Paul's writing to the Galatians is, it's grace, it's not the law that really transforms our hearts. You see, the law is all about, I'm striving for worth, I'm striving for connection, I'm striving to feel like, you know, I can approach God. The trouble with the law is it leaves us feeling empty. It leaves us feeling inferior. And so we use our words to push ourselves forward. Look at me. That's pride. Or we use our words to put others down. That's another form of pride. I'm putting you down so I feel better about myself. Or we use our words to pull people down. That's like jealousy and envy. We pull people down. And if you look in the Bible, almost every conflict, almost every bad word that people say is rooted in jealousy or envy. But we have Jesus' amazing grace that transforms our hearts. And so grace is that we are saved, not by our works, but by what Jesus has done. Jesus gives us a gift of worth and acceptance. He says, you are worthy of connection with God. You're worthy of a friendship with God. And because grace fills our hearts, because we're made worthy, we can step out of this needing to put ourselves forwards or pull ourselves down. We are able then to be full of God's love and think about others. C.S. Lewis says that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Let me say that again. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. And so grace frees us to think less, not less of ourselves, frees us to think of ourselves less. Grace equalizes us so we can really love. We're all saved by grace. No one is greater than the other. It's a complete gift. And so we're equalized. We don't look down on anybody in pride. We're no longer looking up to others in jealousy and envy. We can begin to see eye to eye. We can really love one another. And I like this. I found this a little sort of quote. It says, grace changes the root, the heart, so the fruit, words, can change. Grace changes the root, which is our heart, so the fruit, our words, can change. And this is in some of the New Testament. These are some of the verses we find about the overflow of a grace-filled heart. What does a grace-filled heart sound like? Paul says to the Colossians, let your conversation always be full of grace. And so the grace in our hearts fills our conversation. To the Ephesians, he says, grace overflows in words that are helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Jesus says these challenging words, that grace must so fill our hearts that we can love our enemies. We can bless those. To bless is literally to speak well of those who curse us. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, he says, when we are to share the gospel in a way that is full of gentleness and respect, that is full of grace. And so we have this grace that we have Christ as an example, we have grace that fills our hearts. And so James talks about this pure spring, and it talks about if we have this pure spring, it affects the way that we speak. And Jesus says to the woman at the well, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so we have this spring that James is talking about that wells up to eternal life, that wells up in taming and blessing our tongues. So as James says, no man can tame the tongue. We need help. And while, you know, I just want to say, I can't offer us any techniques for dealing with our unruly member. There are no techniques, I think, in the Bible. We can't tame the tongue. All that we can say is that as we continue to get to know Christ, as we continue to grow in his grace, as we continue to allow him to transform our hearts into his likeness and fill our hearts with his love, that finally, as the heart is stored full of goodness from Christ, that the mouth will speak what the heart is full of. The mouth will speak what the heart is full of. And so that's the challenge, is not to control this, but it's to fill this with Jesus and his grace. And that will overflow, I believe, in the speech that honors God, in the speech that blesses others, in the speech that changes our world and promotes just the blessings that God wants everybody to experience. And so let's pray. Lord, this is a challenge to all of us because, as James says, all of us need help. None of us are perfect. James goes on to say that our tongues are powerful and nobody can tame them. But we thank you that we have a Lord that we follow who tamed his tongue and who leads us, Lord, in example. But we also have a Lord that fills us with his grace, that we are accepted and we're loved not because of anything about us, but because of your great mercy and kindness. And Lord, as that fills our hearts, as that begins to transform us, I believe, as Jesus says, when our heart is full, we'll be able to bring good out of it. And out of the overflow of our heart, our mouth will speak. And so fill our hearts, I pray, with a real deep knowledge of your mercy, of your grace, of your love for us, so that it might flow out in mercy and love and grace and encouragement for those around us, I pray. Amen.